Hello, everybody, and welcome to our service for Sunday, the 7th of June. And we are delighted that you are worshiping with us today as we consider together a big task left by Jesus to all his followers, a task known as the Great Commission. And our opening hymn today is a hymn that prays for the life and thinking of Jesus to impact our daily lives more and more. We're going to sing together the hymn, "May the Mind of Christ My Saviour Live in Me From Day to Day." Our Bible reading today is some verses from the very end of Matthew's Gospel. And these words are Jesus' last recorded words in this Gospel. And so they're words that are very important and very significant. And in them we hear a call to make others become Jesus' followers too. And so we hear of that challenge to make Jesus known around the world, but we also hear about the promise of his help. Remember the Holy Spirit that we heard about last week in doing so. And so we're going to read today from Matthew's Gospel in chapter 28, beginning to read at verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I will be with you always, to the very end of the age." Here ends our Gospel reading. And may I speak today in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. As I was thinking about today's Bible reading, a phrase came to my mind that we used to use frequently in Ireland, but not so much nowadays. And it's the phrase, serving your time. And it's a phrase that certainly brings to my mind a time when people often left school early, very often for financial reasons, to support their family. And so many people, for example, in this area would have served their time in the shipyard historically. And they would be set to work under someone's guidance who knew the job and who was trained to do it. And it was like you were an apprentice and you learned from a master. In my own line of work, I was very fortunate enough to serve in two very different curacies with two very different rectors. But both of them taught me really valuable lessons. The main way that we learn when we are serving our time is through shadowing the people or the person who is supervising us. We watch what they do. We ask them to explain things that we don't understand. And we practice until we feel that we can do it ourselves. And usually they will watch us do it a few times. They might get us then to do a part of the task. And then eventually they'll give us the responsibility of doing it ourselves. Whenever Jesus was leaving the earth, he gave his disciples and all who would subsequently follow him the Great Commission. And it was this incredible task to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything he had commanded. Now, I want to make a distinction here and say that it is a very different task to make a disciple than it is to tell someone about Jesus. Three of the greatest evangelists of modern times have died in the past couple of years: Billy Graham, Louis Palau, and Rabbi Zacharias collectively would have preached to hundreds of millions of people over the years. And to do so, they would have traveled right around the world, leading crusades, preaching in arenas and football stadiums. These were the sort of men who made videos and preached countless messages on the internet as technology advanced. They went on radio shows and TV shows, and they had a real gift for sharing the good news of Jesus. They were masterful in identifying the problem of human sin and the way that we are separated from God and how Jesus' death on the cross paid the penalty for our sins and how it is possible for anyone who wants it to have a relationship with the living God. These men all had the capacity to connect with people through their preaching and communication skills, and many people subsequently responded to their invitation to come to Christ. But the thing is that while many might respond to that call to believe in Jesus and to trust in him, it's a very different thing altogether to become Jesus' apprentice, to become his follower, to serve our time with him, if you will, to engage in a meaningful way with his teaching and surrender to his authority in our daily lives. And just like this idea of serving our time, it is ultimately about us investing time in that relationship, watching and learning from Jesus, and going deeper with him. It's about asking ourselves those hard questions about what do I need to take on board in my life to become more like the Jesus I profess to follow. This has been quite a gut-wrenching week as we see race riots in many American cities following the horrific death of George Floyd at the hands of police officers. And so in the midst of a global pandemic, we have seen peaceful protests dispersed by tear gas, and a world leader occupy the same space for a photo opportunity with a Bible in his hand. And seeing those images, I can't help but wonder who has been offering that particular world leader his spiritual teaching. Is this the kind of thing that we would see Jesus of Nazareth doing in his life and ministry? You see, Jesus did not seek to lord it over others, even though he was very conscious of who he was and of the power that was available to him. Instead, Jesus gave us a new model of leadership. With all his authority and power, Jesus came among us as one who serves, as one who came to set men and women free from the demons and struggles that hold them back and rob them of life and freedom. And Jesus was the only one who could set us free from the guilt and the burden of our sins, those things in our lives which drive us away from the one who loves us. Jesus used his power to serve others, to heal those who were sick, to reassure people of God's love, and to pronounce forgiveness and relationship to those who wanted to start afresh and to seek God with their whole heart. Jesus exercised his authority through service. And I think that's a fantastic model to have before us as we start to take the first tentative steps out of lockdown and we begin to imagine what the future church will look like after these restrictions are lifted. I think, and I'm only guessing here, that people will be nervous in returning to large gatherings initially. But I also believe that this is where small groups may be of great benefit to us. And those groups are possible through the technology that's available to us, through things like Skype or Zoom or Microsoft Teams and other programs that people are using in their workplaces to work remotely. And when I think of small groups, I think of a small group of students that I used to meet with when I went to university for Bible study and for prayer each week. And I have to say that I learned so much from that small group, from the other people in that group who wanted to go deeper in their walk with Jesus. And I discovered what it actually meant to make discipleship part of our shared journey together, to be able to talk about the struggles and the joys of following Jesus, and also to pray for one another in the struggles we were facing. Jesus, as we said, exercised his authority through empowering others, particularly his disciples. And we notice that Jesus believed in them, even though they had previously let him down very badly. And in terms of how he went about this, Jesus invested heavily in the lives of these 12 men. He spent time with them in community. He taught them, he served with them, and he announced a new kingdom in which God's values and God's priorities would always be to the forefront. That is a big task or commission that Christ calls us to, making disciples of all nations. But as he gives this great commission, he also shares some of the most powerful words that we can ever hear in the closing words of Matthew's Gospel. Because Jesus reminds us who continued that commission given to the first disciples, he reminded them and he reminds us that this is not a task that we undertake on our own. But he reminds us that he will be with us always to the very end of the age. And that is not to say that it will not be difficult or challenging, but he has promised to equip us with the Holy Spirit of God. And through God's Holy Spirit, he has promised to be with us wherever we go as we live for him and we seek to follow him in our lives. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we want to pray for your church today as we seek to become and to make disciples. Help us to serve our time and to learn from you, our Lord and Master. Help us to learn more about reading the Bible, about praying and serving others. Help us to learn about putting others first, about generosity with our time, our talents, and our resources. Teach us, Lord, to be people of integrity, and teach us how to be peacemakers, to bring hope and light to a world that is hurting and broken. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the nations of the world. And today, we pray especially for the United States after a week of protest and unrest. We pray for the demolition of barriers that treat people of color as second-class citizens. And we ask for healing and harmony in cities where tensions run high. We pray for your church to be a prophetic voice and to lead the way in terms of reconciliation and peace. We pray today for the family and community of George Floyd in their anger and pain and sense of loss. We pray today for the president. We pray for the police force and for all efforts to build healing and peace in these troubled days. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray today for the sick and the poor and those in any kind of trouble. And we pray especially for all who are really struggling in isolation. We pray for all those who feel very alone and overwhelmed by life's challenges at the present time. And so we remember those who are suffering with anxiety and depression. We pray for those who feel nervous about the future, those who feel nervous about their employment and who have financial concerns. And in some moments of quietness now, we bring to God all those who are particularly in our thoughts and on our hearts as we tune in to this service today. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we join our prayers together in the words our Saviour Christ taught us to pray as we pray our Father. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We bow our heads for our final blessing. May God, the Holy Trinity, make you strong in faith and love, defend you on every side, and guide you in truth and peace. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you this day and forevermore. Amen. Thank you so much for joining with us today in our service here from St. Finian's. And our closing hymn is a reminder of that great task that Jesus asks us all to share in with him. We sing, Lord, you give the Great Commission.